Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Mr. Thiel, it's the 8th of February. People need a little bit of a pick-me-up. It's getting a little hot out here. The year's starting to get real. Deadlines are back in place. Like, we need some Monday motivation in today's edition of The Spoken Hustle.
In a real way. In a real way, bro. I feel the same. It's been...
Yeah, that was a big star. My God, I didn't even expect that from you. Yeah.
It's been a rough year this far, man. But, you know, it's good, man. It's good. Rough times, sometimes they create challenges for us to overcome. And the more we overcome, the better we get, you know?
That's the thing. You got to go through shitty things to appreciate good things.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Without rain, no one would appreciate sunshine. So
absolutely.
It's just about learning to dance in the rain.
So let's talk about this word leadership. And I know that you feel like you got a bit of a solution when it comes to leadership, because it's something that we need in a South African context, a global context, a personal context. Let's dissect that word and then get into the big idea around it.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, like, let's start off by sort of asking yourself what it takes to be a good leader. So what do you think is vital in being a good leader? In my personal opinion, I think one of the most important things a leader needs to have is integrity. I think integrity is probably the most important thing. And then obviously having, you know, the skill sets, like being able to speak, et cetera, and express yourself effectively so that people can understand what you're saying and there can be a dialogue that is understood, right? I think that's, communication skills is vital. But in terms of character, I think your integrity, your dedication to a cause and to a greater cause than just yourself, I think those, it's a lot of selflessness. I think those are really good leaders. It's not necessarily somebody that wants to be in the spotlight. You know, it's somebody that is willing to point the way and guide the way, as opposed to you know, be the person that runs in front. You know, it's not always the case. So I think after thinking about it a lot and having a look at our current leadership in our country, and even amongst the other political parties, not just the ANC, I'm talking the DA, the EFF, everybody, I think there's something that we're missing, and apart from the characteristic things like integrity, which I think a lot of people are missing in our political climate, but from just a almost like a practical point of view, I read an article in on Facebook a couple of weeks ago talking about the largest living population in the United States, and the largest living population in the United States are born frees. Oh, sorry, not born frees. Generation Y.
Millennials.
They're the largest living population, and then I thought to myself, geez, if that's even remotely true in South Africa, in Africa. You know, which I don't think it's far off from being
true. No, it absolutely is. In fact, a majority of the African population are sort of under the age of 30.
Well, there we go, right? So under the age of 30, you're looking at
millennials. Stand to be corrected, but I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't got exact figures, but I mean, let's just replicate it and say it is. Let's say, I think the median age in South Africa is 25, to be honest. So largest living should be Generation Y. Then I looked at it and said, but our leaders, if that's the case, our leaders are then 4 to 5 decades our senior. And not only that, they come from a completely different place. Within the same country, but a completely different place. Like, people like to say, not much has changed, but I can tell you now, we're definitely not where we were. Definitely not. So, I mean, how do we then expect them to even understand us? And to understand the largest living population, which they should be governing, how do we expect them to understand us if they are 5 to 4 decades our senior? It's like
look at Mugabe. They petitioned today that he's not physically fit to actually be the leader of Zimbabwe because he's so old.
Yes, and he's now there's declared a crisis. There's 2.4 million people without food and houses. And I mean, it's an absolute disaster in Zimbabwe. But I'm thinking about just that practicality of someone being 4 to 5 decades your senior. And having to guide a completely different generation of people and lead them, I think it's very difficult because I think the disconnect is way too big on so many levels. I think, like, even on an age level, number one, on a background level, number two, I think there's so many things that are distorting, you know, the communication and the vision between leadership and the masses or the mass living population in South Africa. So I think the solution would be for more young people to get involved in leadership programs and get involved in, like, social leadership initiatives and start cultivating a culture of leadership amongst the youth so that we can get a young president or a young cabinet or something where we got our generation represented in a, on a level where they can influence decision. Because it's almost like youth leagues and stuff. For me, it's like putting cream on crap. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what has actually happened from that organization or that setup? You know, I would like to see, like, I don't know. If there is something that's happened, I would like to know. Please tell me on Twitter, tell me on Facebook, whatever it is. I want to know. But from what I don't see much, and I would like to see more younger people being involved in politics in a higher level. But we first need to start by doing it in your community or doing it at your school or start cultivating a culture around that. And then let's see how it would be if we were governed by people that can actually relate to where we all come from and how things are today.
Yeah, I mean, it brings into question how much experience does one need in order to lead? Because if one needs a lot of experience to lead, then it makes sense that people that are leading are people who are older.
Yeah.
If that's how you define it. But it does depend on the definition.
Yeah, I don't think like young when I say like a 25-year-old president or something. You know, I'm thinking like somebody that's 35, 40 years old. You know, something around there. Someone that's almost in touch with where we're coming from. But then again, like I also don't want to say that a 33-year-old or a 30-year-old cannot be president. I don't ever want to say that because I don't think experience is always needed to be a good leader. I don't think so. I think it comes from something in your character, a culture that you developed, integrity, having sort of having a vision. And that's not necessarily something that you need to... that's something that you get from experience. That's something you learn and you teach yourself and you adapt it from the cultures that or the surroundings that you are in or things that you do in your life. I don't think it takes 50 years for you to become a good leader. You know, I think you could be a young person that's on the ball, that's, you know, that's got a good support structure and a good cabinet and experienced people around him to help him, you know, make certain decisions when it comes to economics or maybe when it comes to policy or whatever it may be. But I don't think it's fair to say that a young person can't be president because they just simply lack the years. You know, I think there's a way we could combat the years that he doesn't have, you know, with other things. And I think maybe a younger president or a younger leader or anything
would make a difference.
Would bring something different, you know, a different perspective.
Well, I think that we've seen a lot of this with the Fees Must Fall movement in terms of young leaders playing a role and gathering people around them, and people have been surprised by that. I do often wonder sometimes, though, do you need to be a president in order to lead? If I'm playing really, really devil's advocate here, if young people want to lead, why don't they just do it?
100%, bro. And I agree with that. Like, I don't think you have to be a president to be a leader. Not at all, man. You can be a leader in your community, in your society, a thought leader, whatever it may be. And that's what I'm encouraging. I'm encouraging more people to do that, more people to get involved in those kind of initiatives or whatever it may be. Get involved and start cultivating your leadership qualities, because one day you might find yourself being able to go into politics and make a significant difference, you know, with policy and with new ways of business. And, you know, like, imagine a young person, like, I feel like SMEs in South Africa have such a hard time starting because the Ministry of Small Business doesn't make it easier. The barriers to entry.
It's like 150 forms,
It's so hard, bro. Like, I think if it was a younger person that was, you know, in that mix before, it would be different. I feel like the experience our leaders have come from a very different place to where the experience of young leaders today have. You know, I think it's a completely different world. And perhaps if you're trying to guide the world that lives today, you need to be a little more in touch with what it's actually like to be a South African in today's day and age, you know, with regards to the generation.
It's true. I mean, there's not a lot of holes to poke in the story. I often wonder what a difficult job it must be to lead in a political sphere or to make so many decisions on behalf of so many different people that you may not necessarily understand purely from a generational point of view.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, Obama's done a pretty good job of kind of embracing technology and really seeking, I think, to understand different generations and their perspectives. But all generations do have very different perspectives. Mm. And as a leader of a group of people, people that are 7 years old, people that are 70 years old, it must be tricky to figure out what voice you're going to lead with.
Yeah, definitely. It must be a challenge. Look, I'm in no way saying that, you know, being a president is easy. I think it's like, it's probably the most demanding, most stressful job anybody could ever do. You know, I mean, you've got the responsibility of a nation on your shoulders. And yeah, there's an element of maturity that is needed to handle that. But, you know, my sentiment is just that I'm in a position, like in my life, and I feel like a lot of South Africans feel the same. It's just that, you know, we just want something new. We want like new ways of living and being and business and thinking and operating. We're just dying for this sort of a little revolution in terms of thinking and you know, ways of doing business and ways of running politics, etc. So I believe that those ideas and those things live with my generation, and I'm encouraging my generation to take it upon themselves, take the responsibility upon themselves, get involved wherever they can to cultivate that skill of leadership, and then let's work towards working ourselves into political positions or positions of influence where we could make a real difference. Because if it's not going to happen from the top, let's start doing it on the ground at least. You know, let's try to develop new ways of doing things.
Look, one thing that I think is cool that sometimes people also forget is that in a commercial sense, if you're young, there are limitations. But I mean, you look at like the guy that's the CEO of Snapchat or Mark Zuckerberg or whatever.
It's crazy, yeah.
And from a commercial perspective, maybe it's easier than from a political sphere to be a leader, because if you got a dope idea and you know how to make money, that kind of shines through whether you're 20 or 70.
Most definitely. Like, I was actually having this conversation with my friends on the weekend. I was like, you know, if you want to make like real significant change that's like extremely impactful and people can see it on a global level, there's two things you can do. You can either get involved in politics and work your way up and become a well-known
politician, which will take like 60 years,
which takes time, especially the way things are working.
Look at Bernie Sanders, he looks like he's about to walk into his grave.
I was watching those American debates and I was like, but everybody's old, man. Like
Bernie Sanders is 74 years old.
Yeah, so many people are old. I'm kind of thinking, where are the younger guys, man? There must be good young leaders. I cannot accept that a 35-year-old cannot be deemed ready to be president. Why not? Like, why can't we ask the question, why not, and see it? Let's just test. Let's see, man. Maybe it's really dope and it changes a lot for the good. I don't know.
But all now, people listening to this right now are like, oh my God, this is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard.
Yeah, maybe, bro. Maybe.
Like, you can't make a 35-year-old president. What are these kids smoking?
How old is my money at the DA? He's young. He's about 30-something. I think Julius is also 30-something.
Musi Maimane is 35 years old.
35?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Julius is also around that age, I think.
Julius is probably pushing 40 now.
Maybe. He could be 27, you know.
Listen, some people, he's 34.
34, you see, like, so you see, it's not impossible. It's not impossible to have young people in there, man. We need more young politicians. Younger, vibrant, people with new ideas, new energy. Bring it to the game. Let's make change like that. Because this older generation of ours, man, they're very detached.
Vaughan's very detached. He's basically saying he wants Snapchat to be legalized in every province. So we need younger leaders who understand what it is. But I get you.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, and the great thing is that because past the age of 18 you're able to vote, you can actually decide if you do want a younger or an older leader based on the party that you vote for.
Definitely, man.
So that might be a plus for some people, for the DA or the EFF to vote for younger leaders.
100%.
Because ANC, you're voting for someone who's probably like 60, 70 years old.
Yeah, dude. And like, you're done. Like, it feels like it's done. Like, you know, I'd like to see the ANC promoting a couple of young leaders up for presidential, to be a presidential candidate.
Absolutely.
Why not, man? Why not? You know, get involved.
So we spoke about the fact that commercially, whether you are 20 or 70, if you've got a good idea, you can make an impact. And I know that you've got a big campaign to change South Africa this year that's in line with money.
Yeah, it is. So like I was saying to you, I alluded to the fact earlier that I had a chat to my mate, and we were saying there's two ways you can do it. You can either get into politics and work your way up there and make it happen, or you can make a lot of money, and then with that lot of money, you've got the power to do things and change things, right? So what we've done, myself and the guys from Gentlemen by Choice, we've got a company called Unplugged and In Charge. Mm. We've registered it. We've got it going. We've now got a greater team behind us that are handling admin, finance, everything you can imagine. And we just launched a campaign over the weekend. We launched it at Standard Bank head offices in Rosebank. We actually planned it last year. We put out adverts to get 100 young people that are interested in leadership and motivation and speaking and ideas and new ways of living, etc., to apply and be part of the team. And we got over 400 applicants.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. The response was crazy. We got over 400 applicants. Our emails were blowing up. So we got the team in to sort it all out, send out invites. We got sponsors from Standard Bank, from a couple of other corporates that said, you know, we'll give you venue, we'll give you branding, etc. Cliff Central came on board as well. Gareth Cliff came down to the launch too. And yeah, we had this massive turnout out of all these eager young people wanting to make a difference in South Africa. And we launched our campaign there. We explained the campaign to them. We got their details. We've registered them. And now they're officially part of the team. So what the campaign is, we've called it Motivation Million. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the 100 plus speakers we have. We're going to divide them into smaller sort of teams. They used to do it in the military. We'd have 10 people would report to one person who would report to another one person. So we're trying to approach it like that so we can control it. And each team is going to have an organizer that's going to organize them speaking jobs at schools throughout South Africa. Right? And each person, the goal is to, they must do 20 talks each at 20 different schools. And we've calculated that if we do that, if we do 20 talks each person for, I think it was from something between 50 and 100 kids each talk, we'll make, and the rule is each person that listens to the talk just pays 5 rand, we'll make R1 million.
Jeez.
Right, so we've scoped it out, and now that's why it's called Motivation Million. Because what we're going to do is once that R1 million is made, we're going to put it into an incubator. So we're a non-profit organization. We're going to put it into an incubator, and this incubator is going to host sessions for SMEs. So for young people with ideas, young people with the need to get into business, businesses that are already running that are lacking perhaps legal advice, no marketing experience, maybe there's something that they're questioning with regards to their accounting and the way they run their books. We are going to approach all the top qualified people in South Africa and ask them just for 3 hours of their time on certain incubation days, and these young entrepreneurs and SME owners of small SMEs that are requiring, let's say, legal advice and marketing advice will be invited to the incubator, which will then have a 3-hour talk on branding your company from the marketing professional we'll approach, and another one, let's say, on the legal documents or the legal whatever requirements an SME might need to start up from the legal professional that we'll approach. And this way they're giving back, you know, via their CSI, and for us it supports our incubation model.
Wow.
So the idea is to start creating a culture of young people going out and speaking and sort of giving a similar message on a massive scale, so throughout South Africa, and then to bring it all home to the incubations. And then we want to move one into Durban, one into Cape Town, and just have these places that are available for people to come and learn and get young entrepreneurs the skills to really set up their businesses and better South Africa. So, yeah, we've launched the campaign. There's corporate interest as well on the level that would be really excellent, because we can achieve our goal a lot quicker. Mm. What can happen is, for instance, if you're a corporate looking to sponsor us X amount of money. So, for instance, let's say you give us 10,000 rand. That 10,000 rand then will be put into the account, and we will then go and speak at X amount of schools for free at no charge, because you would have sponsored that. Those 5 rands.
Mm.
So yeah, there's that type of thing that people can get involved in. And then yeah, man, we're just growing it, and it's been launched, and we're going to look to have a few more workshops with the team to sort of create the culture that we're going to be going out to the schools with, and the messages we're going to be talking about. And then from there we're good to go, man. We're hoping to launch in the next month or two.
Very, very cool, dude. How do we keep up with that journey?
Yeah, you can follow us on Unplugged on Twitter. We're at Unplugged_ZA. You'll see a lot of the updates over there. The handle's fairly new, so you can get following there. And then you can follow myself at Vaughn the Poet on Twitter. You can follow Simpiwe Petros at Simpiwe Petros on Twitter, LSG_Mapanga for Lesego, and Weza That Guy on Twitter too. We're going to all be updating everything
time. Yeah. Motivation Million. I'm excited to see how that pans out. That's very dope.
It's very big. We're excited, man.
Give me the big takeaway line for the week ahead. Let's get everybody pumped. You got one final shot here, Vaughn Thielty. If someone's still depressed at this point, then I don't know how we turn it around, bro.
Yeah, no. I would say, you know, sometimes we get, as young people, we get very, very clouded by the expectations that sort of are on us to carry the nation forward and our families and even our own lives. I just want young people this week and anyone listening, just take a little bit of time to step out of that and look at it from a bigger picture, and always try and see the bigger picture and understand that the challenges we go through now are so that we can conquer them to be the better people that we want to be in the next few years or few months, however long the challenges take. Nothing is bigger than you. You can conquer it all.
It's dope, bro. How do we keep up all day?
I'm on Twitter, man, Vaughn the Poet. You can catch me on Snapchat too, at Vaughn the Poet. I'm on Facebook. Whenever I say Snapchat, I always feel like I have to laugh because I feel like Snapchat is such a weird, self-indulgent social network there is.
Yeah,
bro, it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing to be on Snapchat. I don't know. It's strange. Anyway, so you can catch me on Snapchat too. I'm active there. And then Facebook, Vaughn Thiel.
It's weird now, but it's not going to be weird in like a year.
Not at all, man. I think Snapchat's going to be the biggest thing, the biggest social media in the next year or two.
Because it's so intimate. I went for coffee with a Snapchatter this morning. And I swear in 5 minutes she'd posted 5 different Snapchats. One of them ordering the coffee, and one of me commenting on the fact that we'd ordered the coffee, and then a picture of the coffee when it came out.
It's crazy, bro.
Now, this is going to be someone's data is going to go through all
too,
of this.
Too much. Too much for me, bro.
Levels. Vaughn, thanks so much for hanging out, bro.
Shoot, my brother. Shot.
When you're in the back seat with 4 multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to Showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.